dream last night. And I tried to tell my mother, but she told me I had to go to school anyway. So when I did call home, I went out to the office and called home. My mother said, wait, Louis Fritzl's going to come down and pick you up. I said, there was snow up to your knees, believe me. And I had 2 miles to get to home. I don't know what I was going to do there, but I was going home because they let you go. So I'm waiting. He's not showing up. I said, I can't wait for him anymore. And I plowed through that snow home walking. I just walked and ran, whatever you want to say. When I came in front of their driveway, he was just pulling out. He said, I was coming after you. I said, sure, I know. Goodbye. You can go on down and pick up nobody. I've gone in. So I was home in no time flat. I said, well, there you are. What was I going to do? I said, I think that was my calling of wanting to be around a sick people and take care of them.
Mm-hmm. Had your sister been sick before that? Had she always been sick, or was she pretty healthy all the time?
She was okay, you know, as far as I know. But Emma's the one that, when she was younger, she had scarlet fever and diphtheria together. They thought that she was going to die years before that, but she didn't.
But that left her with a damaged heart also.
Yeah.
And your brother, Mylan.
Well, he had, I guess she'd call it rheumatic fever, because when he was little and he was in school, sister told me, your brother's got St. Vitus dance. And I said, what is that? She said, that, he has the shakes, you know, like, or anyway. And she said, tell your mother, strip him, put him out in the sun, let the sun, you know, help him draw this out. Which we didn't know much about rheumatic fever at the time, but that was what his problem was, and that's what left him with a bad heart. So it seemed like a heart condition was every other one. It wasn't. My older sister didn't have it, I didn't have it, my brother John didn't have it, and I don't think Josephine has it, because it hit every other one. Mm-hmm. That's strange, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is. So, tell us how you met your husband.
Oh, that. Well, we used to, my sister and I used to always go down to the candy kitchen where a bunch of us girls would always meet. And we'd have our little get-togethers. And this one, a Sunday, when my sister and I walked in, these two fellas sitting there. Well, they were all dressed up, you know, real sharp-looking, ooh-ah, you know. And I said to my sister, when he grows up, he's mine. And she said, no, he's mine. I said, well, we'll see. Well, we sit in the booths and have our own cokes, you know. And she's as honored as she is. She motions them, they come. And lo and behold, the one I said is going to be mine sits beside me, and the other one sat with her. So this is where I met him. And that's, from then on, we dated, and it was, nobody had to say, you're going to go steady with me or what. It just seemed like it was mutual. If he said, I'm going to see you, that he saw you. He wasn't like one and said, oh, I'm going to see you tomorrow night. And tomorrow night he didn't even show up and didn't call you or nothing. It was one of those two-timers. I said, I've had those. And I also had a guy the one time, let me tell you this. He came over the house, this is of our own nationality, and I thought he was a pretty nice kid, you know. And when my mother saw him, she told me, she said, you get him away from this house quick. And what's that? She said, he's drunk. You get him away from him. I thought, oh, well, we're going to walk down to 6 or 8 blocks to the show, and I'll see him. And I said, nobody had to tell me what I had to do. Okay, we walked. He was fine. We get in the show. First thing, his arms are around you like an octopus, you know. And I thought to myself, I have to sit here for 2 hours breathing that ugly odor? No, not me. And I tell him, would you excuse me? I have to go upstairs. Oh, okay. He lets me go. As soon as I got out of that aisle, I went out the door and I took off and I was home in no time flat. And my mother said, well, what did you do with Sonson? I guess he's sitting in the show. I just wasn't going to put up with that. As nobody had to tell me, I had to struggle through that. No, sir. And I don't want a man that drinks, and I married a man that did not drink. And we had no liquor in our house, period. That was one of my pet peeves. I could not stand it.
Now, your husband was not Yugoslavian.
Oh, no. He was a full-blown Italian, believe you me. But that was what you'd say, my nationality and his nationality. They did not clash. They were not kosher to each other. On your side of the street, we'll stay on our side. But when I was going with him, of course, my mother used, can't you find somebody? No, nobody that appeals to me. You know, I said, he struck me, and I said, you know, love is blind and it is funny. But I said, he was a good man.
Mm-hmm. And his parents also had just come from the old country.
Oh, yeah, they came from Campobasso. I can't pronounce that name, you know. And anyway, they were from Italy. They were farmers over there, and they were farmers when they came to the States. When they came to the States, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But then they had three living children. My mother-in-law, his oldest son, was as old as my father. And between him and my sister-in-law, who was 3 years older than my husband, and my husband was as old as I am. Yeah, you getting this straight? Well, there were children in between that were either dead on arrival or they died between the ages of 7 and 9. That's all I know. This is what my mother went to.
Mm-hmm.
So, but she would never let me see her when she was cooking spaghetti and meatballs. I had to stay out of the kitchen. Oh, my Lord.
She didn't teach you to cook anything Italian?
No. She didn't teach me how to cook Italian, nothing. I had to teach myself. I couldn't even boil water, even though I worked for the nuns. I was kind of got out of the cooking business. So when you got married, you're kind of a greenhorn. You have to start all over again.
Mm-hmm. So during the Depression, I think you told me of that your father had lost his job.
That's right.
And you were the only person in your family that was working.
That's right. I sure was.
So you pretty much supported this big family.
Well, you had no choice. You almost thought, I'm lucky I have a roof over my head. This is my father, my mother. How could I turn my back on him? It never even gave me a thought. That did not enter my mind. I come home, my mother standing there with the pen. Although she didn't like I worked at the hospital, but that check came in handy, you know. And I'd sign it, and she'd take it, and she'd go pay bills or buy whatever she had to do. And I was lucky if she gave me 15 cents out of that whole thing. I never gave her a bit of trouble on that.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, you ask a kid, hey, pay your folks for, are you crazy? I ain't going to do it.
Yeah. So, what else do you remember about that particular era, the Depression? I know we talked about everybody wearing the same kinds of clothes and stuff.
Okay, the banks were closing. People were losing money. Our neighbor lost money. And there were... anyone that lost a lot of money is either committing suicide because they just didn't know how to cope with life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you had to learn to live with what you had. There was no such thing as welfare. There was no come down here and get food stamps or anything else. No way. During the war, and are we coming to the war now? Okay, during the war we had food stamps, which was for sugar, meat, and what else? Clothing and shoes. And this you had to present at the store before you could. Each one had a book, and then when the store said they had meat in the grocery, then my mother would take everybody's book that had a stamp in there for that, and then she could buy that much meat or whatever, sugar or how many, and you had to have a coupon for shoes. You could not get anything you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
There was a shortage of everything.
And you were married shortly before we entered the war, is that correct? Or shortly afterwards?
Shortly afterwards. Because my brother went back into the service. He was in the Marine Corps for from 1937 till 1940. Anyway, he came back home. And as soon as he came home on my mother's birthday, the Army wanted him to induct him back in the Army. He says, I'm not going into the Army, I'm going back to the Marine Corps. And that's where he went. And then they shipped him over to Guadalcanal in Tulagi. And he was with the Carlson Raiders. They were the first people that went down in that area. And he said, you ate bugs. You ate whatever you found, weeds and everything. He says, you're laying in a foxhole and your buddy leaves the foxhole for a few minutes and you smell something coming in there. You think, oh, this is a goat. I don't want this goat. So you got your bayonet and you're ready. Just attack me and I'll attack you. And that's the way it was. Because the Japs were, in those days, they were cruel. And those things did happen. And then, of course, my brother, he got shot and he was, they were going to have it, when he was at the hospital, they were going to amputate his leg. And he heard the doctors talking about it. He told himself, I have no way are you going to cut my leg off. I'll get out of this hospital somehow. How he got out of the hospital, I have no idea. But some lady found him, and she took him to her home and nursed him down in New Zealand, and she took good care of him. And then when he was well and everything could walk back, he walked back in. He says, I know I'm AWL, they're going to throw me in the brig, but I don't care. I'm going. So they never threw him in no brig, they just signed him again. And then also sent him back home for a while, and then they claimed he was 50% disabled. So they left him in the States to do some coaching or teaching the boys how to protect themselves and what they are supposed to do. And this is where he lost his life. He had about six boys, young boys, he was teaching how to throw hand grenades. Well, one kid pulled the pin out and was holding it. I guess he was shocked. He didn't know what he was supposed to do, and the thing just blew up, killed seven of them right on the bat. And then anyway, when my brother's body was supposed to be brought home, I said to the Marine that was there, I said, you know, I'd like to go to the mortuary and I want to see my brother. He said, no, I'm not going to take you. I said, well, I don't live here. I have a baby and I have my mother-in-law down there. And she's going to take care of my baby while I go. No, no, no. He said, all you're going to see is either a hat and a shoe. That's all you're going to see. I said, in that big casket? That's right. He said, you ain't going to see nothing else.
That must have been pretty sad for your family.
It was. It was very sad. Because it came around Christmas time. On my father's birthday, he was killed. And to tell you about that, that morning that he was killed, my mother was in the house alone. There was nobody at home with her. And she said every window in the house rattled. So she went outside to see what was causing her windows to rattle. And she saw her neighbor. And she said, Mary, did your windows rattle just a little while ago in your house? She said, no, what are you talking about? She said, well, every window in my house rattled, you know, like it was being exploded, you know. And that's what gives me the idea that there is something in this world that lets you know something is happening somewhere. So you can't doubt a person. And I was working at the hospital, and I heard on the radio, they said, there was a young man killed at Camp Pendleton. And they just didn't say where he was from or anything. And I said, you're going about your business. You're not paying any attention. You come home and you're having supper. The phone rings and your sister-in-law calls and says, John was killed this morning at 10 o'clock. As soon as my mother heard that, she says, I knew it. She says, I knew something happened. She says, when those windows rattled. So there is a something in this world that'll let you know something somewhere.
Wow.